Genesis chapter 16. The last two Sunday nights that I was with you, we took up the subject in Genesis 14 and Genesis 15 on the first war of Scripture and how Abram won the battle on the principle of faith. When we were saved, we were enrolled in the school of faith, and Abraham is the dean of that school. He is the father of the faithful. Tonight, we want to look at a subject that's near to my heart, found in Genesis chapter 16. You know, to war by faith is easy compared to what we have tonight. How to be patient by faith. One of the biggest problems I've faced in the last year, apart from all the times in the hospital and under the surgeon's knife, is just being patient and waiting on the Lord. For a person who has been active and not sick for 70 years, and then all of a sudden to be laid on his back, it isn't easy. At least it isn't for me. Oh, it's been a joy because of my fellowship with the Lord. But to not be active and to be out and doing what I'd had normally done every day for the past 50 years or more is a bit difficult. Hard to wait and to do it by faith. The problems of impatience. And I'm an impatient character. And there are problems that go along with it. But here we have the Word of God. You remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and there was no water in the wilderness. And God showed them the rock in Horeb, and the rock was smitten, and the waters came forth. And then Amalek came. And then there was a war with Amalek. And Moses was up on the mountain, and he had to hold up his hands. And as long as he held up his hands, Israel prevailed. But Moses got tired. Do you ever get tired praying? Moses did. And of course, Aaron and Hur came and stood under him, and he had something to lay his hands on. His arms. And then Israel prevailed. But you don't read that Joshua, wielding the sword, got tired. You don't read that. See, we are doers. We like to be doing things. But when God says, wait, I say on the Lord, that is something else. Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, an Egyptian, or the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. the Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we pray that we may learn the lesson that he's taught here in this portion of thy word. We just want to thank you for your care for us. You are the faithful God. You are merciful. You are gracious. You're full of tender compassions toward your own. You care for us more than we care for ourselves. And we pray that tonight we may behold thy glory and thy love and thy care for us in all things, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. This message tonight, I'm not going to be able to finish because you don't want to be here that long. I'm afraid I'll lose my audience if I finish this message, but I'm going to break it off at a convenient place. So you have a little patience with me, and I'll have a little patience with you as I seek to deal with the subject of patience. In the Bible, waiting is not a passive doing nothing. Waiting in the Bible is endurance. Let me give you an illustration. Do you remember the Apostle Paul, at the close of his first missionary journey, he wanted to go into Asia, and the Spirit of God said, no. Then he wanted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of God didn't permit that either. What did Paul do? Well, he was at a place called Troas. You know, throughout the scripture, we don't read of a church being built at Troas. And yet, in the 20th chapter of Acts, when Paul was returning from his second missionary journey, he stopped at a place called Troas. And what was remarkable about it, the saints were gathered together there to break bread. Acts chapter 20. And Paul discoursed with them. When was the church at Troas started? I believe it was started when Paul wanted to go into Asia, and the Spirit of God said no. And when he wanted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of God didn't permit it. But Paul didn't sit around and argue with the Lord. He patiently endured. You remember what happened at Troas, don't you? You had the great peril of sermon sleeping. See, Eutychus fell out of the third story. That's the peril of sermon sleeping. So don't sleep through a sermon, because you might fall out. And that would be bad. This courageous endurance before the Lord is not wasted time. Paul didn't say, I'm going to quit. Paul said, I'm going to keep on going. The word of God to us in Hebrews 12 says, let us run with patience the race that he set before us. Let us run with patience. Now, if we're going to have patient faith, there are three basic things that we must understand and apply. First, we have to know what real faith is. Second, we're going to have to know how important patience is. And third, We must, as the Lord teaches us, draw upon the resources that He has provided. What is genuine faith? Living faith and saving faith are very closely related. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." The trouble is, some people build their faith on feelings. I feel good today. And they build their faith on feelings. Now, I don't want to be judged as overly critical. But in my short life, I've heard statements like this. God has given me the conviction that this person is not going to die. They're going to recover. Have you ever heard that? And then the person dies. What do you say next? What do you say next? You see, there are people who work up their faith. And it's a granular faith. They work it up. And it doesn't quite work. You see, feelings are very treacherous. In chapter 15, as we noted last time we were together, Abraham exercised one of his greatest steps of faith at a time when he was afraid, he was anxious, and he was surrounded with doubt. But he believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. Genesis 15 and verse 6. But then second, some people build their faith on circumstances. Circumstances. You know, everything's falling into place. Did you ever hear anybody say that? Everything's just falling into place. I'm scared when everything falls into place. I really am. Everything was falling into place for Moses when he returned from the wilderness to go back to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out. But then the Lord was going to kill him on the way because he had failed with a sign of the covenant to circumcise his child. He probably did it because of his wife. She didn't believe in circumcision. But it was a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. And God was going to deal with him. And she circumcised the boy and criticized Abraham or Moses. Be careful when everything falls into place. Remember Acts chapter 27. The great chapter on the shipwreck. They were at a place called the Fair Havens. And Paul advised them, "It's the wrong time for sailing. Let's not go." But they did what people do. They took a boat. They believed in majority rule. And the centurion, he wanted to get the prisoners to Rome. And they believed the master and owner of the ship rather than God's man. And what happened? When the south wind blew softly, they felt everything falling into place. And they took off. And what did they do? They bobbed around on the Mediterranean Sea like a cork for 2 weeks in a hurricane. That's what they did. Don't build your faith on circumstances. What are the tests of faith? And I want to give them to you tonight. There are four of them. And they all appear in the book of Romans. I'm going to give you the verses. And then we're going to work from there. See, Romans 14:22 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if we as believers are walking through life apart from faith in the Word of God, it's sin. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what are the tests of faith? The first one is Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Can I do this for the glory of God? Abraham, being strong in faith for the glory of God, we read in Romans 4, verse 20. Am I doing this for my own good? For my own pleasure? Or is it for God's glory? That should be the first thing on our minds. Is it for the glory of God? Now the second of these is in Romans chapter 10 verse 11. A very familiar verse. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You see, and then here it is, the question, am I willing to wait? Well, where'd you get that from the text? You see, the text in Romans 10:11 is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Whosoever believeth on him will not be in a hurry. Isaiah 28, verse 16. And that's quoted in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Shall not be in a hurry is quoted, shall not be ashamed. You see, the Holy Spirit interpreted Isaiah 28 for us in that passage. And you know, every time I'm in a hurry, I usually end up ashamed because what I did was impulsive and I couldn't wait. David prayed in Psalm 32, be not like the mule or the horse, which have to be held in with bit and bridle. You know, there are times I'm like a mule. Ask my wife. You see? You know what a mule is like. He's stubborn. And then sometimes I'm like a horse. A horse just takes off and runs. You see, and God doesn't want us to be like either one of them. He said, don't be like a mule, stubborn, and don't be like an impulsive horse. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Am I willing to wait? And when I find my energy level impulsive, and when I don't know the will of God, I need to be cautioned. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Remember Paul and Silas at Philippi? There was a demon girl that followed them day after day, and Paul was grieved about it. He waited a long time before he acted. But when he acted, he had the will of God. He cast out the demon. And you know, the demon girl told the truth. She told the truth. The same as Balaam did in the Old Testament. But we don't need the truth told by the devil. You never know when he's going to be putting in his hook. And Paul was grieved. And of course, he ended up in jail. But God used that for the conversion of the Philippian jailer in his house. But he acted in faith. Is there a word of God, some one of his promises, a precept or a principle, an example or an exhortation upon which I can stand when I get like a horse or a mule and I don't know the right direction to take? Wait on the Lord. You see, that's the third test of faith, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is there a principle in the word of God? Is there an exhortation in the word of God? Is there an example in the word of God that I can follow at this time? The Word of God is the Word of faith. The Holy Spirit within us is the Spirit of faith. And the Spirit of faith puts the Word of faith and He impresses it upon our hearts. So if you're not spending time in the book, it's pretty hard for the Spirit of God to remind you of the Word of God when you need it. This is why the Holy Scriptures are so important. This is one of the reasons I love to read biographies. How did God lead Hudson Taylor? How did God lead Jim Elliot? How did God lead Charles Wesley? Oh, what a life. He wrote some of the greatest hymns in our hymn book. Charles Wesley. I can name a dozen of them that you often sing. One of them especially. And I love the fourth stanza. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. Behold, the dungeon flamed with light. That great hymn, And Can It Be? Beloved, when I read these biographies, I find principles and illustrations of how God leads a man who is committed to Him, who is walking by faith. The fourth test of faith is Romans 15:13, where it says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. When I'm making a step of faith based upon the Word of God, not impulsive, to the glory of God, there is within joy and peace. Even though the world around me may look dark, we have the experience of joy and peace, even when our Christian friends don't agree with us. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now let's take Genesis 15 and see if in this chapter, when Abram couldn't wait on God, did he pass the test? We looked at the four tests of faith. Did he pass the test? Now, number one, did he do this for the glory of God? No, he did it to please his wife. Now, it's possible, you see, to do both. But in this case, it was not for the glory of God. He didn't say, now for the to the glory of God, I'm going to be taking another wife. You don't read that in the text. You don't read it. Not to the glory of God, I'm going to help God out of this dilemma. He made a promise, and I don't see it being fulfilled. He promised me a family, but he's not doing anything. I believe he forgot about it. Not to the glory of God, I'm going to help him out of this dilemma. It's like a brother I heard at a men's meeting about 2 years ago. He said, look what God could do if he only would let him. I don't know who his God is. But God doesn't need my permission to do anything. And he doesn't need my help either. But I need his. Abram, is it to the glory of God? No, Abram failed. Do you know what faith is? Faith is living without scheming. That's faith. Oh boy, we're good schemers, aren't we? But faith is living without scheming. We don't need to scheme. But second, was Abram willing to wait? No, that's the problem. He was not willing to wait. No son had yet come. And that's why he got into trouble. Third, was what he did based upon the word of God. Isn't it amazing? That usually in the life of Abram, whose name is changed to Abraham, you find this expression. Now the word of the Lord came unto Abram saying. You don't find that in Genesis 15. But what do you find? Look at verse 2. And Sarah said unto Abram. And then when you look down in the verse, we read, it may be that I may obtain children by her. How different from Genesis 15. In Genesis 15:13, when God speaks, he said, no, of a surety. When Sarah spoke, and Abram listened to Sarah, her name wasn't changed to Sarah yet, it was Sarai. She said, it may be. What a difference. We can rest upon the word of God, but you can't rest upon the word of man. So that brings us to the fourth test of faith. Did what they do, what they had done, did it bring glory to God? Oh, it really blessed our home, didn't it? Oh boy, the world is still reeling under what took place when Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham. The Arab nation was born. And then Ishmael was born, God said, he'll be against every man, and every man will be against him. How true that has become. Instead of joy and peace in the household of Abraham, it was almost a rift between Abram and his wife. Now when Isaac was born, the true child of Sarah, the seed of Abram, Ishmael. Israel was not a teenager. And he was persecuting Isaac. There was no joy and no peace in that home. I'm so convinced that many of our problems that we're trying to solve would be solved if we simply lived by faith, learning to wait on the Lord. Family problems are caused by steps of unbelief. Church problems are caused by steps of impatient unbelief. True faith means that I am doing what I'm doing for the glory of God, based upon the Word of God, willing to wait on the timing of God, and filled with joy and peace by the Spirit of God. And when you have that kind of an experience, it's worth waiting for. For God is with you. It's at this point that I better quit. For this reason, I'd like to take up next the importance of patience in the Christian's life. And in order to see the importance of patience, you have to see the dangerous results or the high cost of impatience. And you see, the Epistle of James presents to us four vital ministries that patience wants to perform in our lives. Four vital ministries. Until we get through those four, I'm afraid it will be pretty close to 9 o'clock. And that's a little long. So we'll have to wait until another time. So keep going over these steps of faith. What are the tests of true faith? It's for the glory of God. Second, we can wait upon God. He that believeth shall not make haste. This reminds me of a story I heard about James Gray. He was the president of Moody Bible Institute. There was another brother there by the name of E.J. Pace. I don't know if any of you have ever seen any of his cartoons. He was a Christian cartoonist, and they're perfect. They're wonderful. There used to be an E.J. Pace calendar. I wish I would have kept them years ago. I would get one every year. But anyway, James M. Gray, the president, was all excited and agitated. And E.J. Pace said to him, "What's your problem, Jimmy?" A friend of mine who was attending there, and he worked his way through Moody as a janitor, he heard it. "What's your problem, Jimmy?" And he said, "My problem is I'm in a hurry, and God isn't. He that believeth shall not make haste." Third, is it according to the word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And fourth, we are filled with all joy and peace in believing. Romans 15:13. Abraham failed these four tests. May God enable us not to fail for our own good and for his glory. Amen. Now, Father, we ask you to take the word tonight and use it to bless our hearts. For the Lord Jesus' sake, Amen.